WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Michelle Franzen. Jurors returned a split verdict in the trial of Sean Diddy Combs, acquitting him on the most serious charges of sex trafficking and racketeering. But the jury found Combs guilty of prostitution-related charges. ABC's Aaron Katursky is in Lower Manhattan.
All Sean Combs has been convicted of here is transportation for the purposes of prostitution. And those did seem to be the most evident crimes that Sean Combs committed. We heard testimony from the male escorts. The jury heard about the cash that they were paid, and as prosecutors told them, they were not in those hotel rooms for scintillating conversation.
Combs faces up to 20 years in prison. Combs' attorneys now trying to get a bail hearing set for later this afternoon. Legal analyst Brian Buckmeyer on his chances of going free.
I do not believe he's a risk to not come back to court. I think if anything, he is elated.
Combs' family, after the verdict, say they're happy. This is ABC News.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Supreme Court officially ruled that an 1849 law does not ban consensual abortion in the state. Justice Rebecca Dallet wrote the opinion for the 4-3 majority, saying that years of legislation governing how and when abortions may be performed were clearly meant as a substitute for the 19th century near-total ban on abortion. The lawsuit challenging the intent of the 1849 law was filed by Attorney General Josh Call after the U.S. Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade, which triggered an abortion ban under that law in Wisconsin. The Wisconsin Realtors Association released its monthly report for May, showing a drop in home sales and increase in home prices from the same time last year. According to the report, home sales through the first 5 months of 2025 fell by 2.7% compared to the same period last year. The median home price also rose by nearly 7% to $315,000. While the number of existing homes for sale dropped by about 1.5%, the total number of listings rose by 8.5% with over 22,000 homes on the market. Barron Electric Cooperative has announced a $1,000 donation to Marshfield Medical Center Rice Lake Hospice. Organization officials say the funding for their donation came from unclaimed cashback credits from former members through the Federated Youth Foundation. The foundation has specific rules about how the cashback credit funds can be used, so the cooperative was unable to use them to reduce rates. Instead, the cooperative chose to make the donation as a sign of support for the critical work that Rice Lake Hospice does for area residents. Nurses and advanced practice providers at Ascensia Health and Aspirus facilities in Superior and Duluth are set to go on strike starting next week. Nurses at a number of area hospitals, including St. Mary's and St. Luke's, will officially begin their strike on July 8th. Advanced practice providers at Ascensia Health will begin their strike 2 days later on July 10th. Organizers say the strikes are based on unfair labor practices, including chronic understaffing and the failure of the healthcare organizations to take their input on patient care needs into consideration. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
Baseball in New York. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It's the Brewers and the Mets in a doubleheader today in Queens, New York. The two teams rained out last night. NBA, the Bucks shocked the industry with their free agent signing of center Miles Turner. 4 years, $107 million, taking him away from the Pacers. What's the reaction in Indiana?
If I'm an Indiana Pacer right now, I'm absolutely disgusted. I am sick to my stomach. If I'm Tyrese Halliburton, I am breaking things right now. If I'm Rick Carlisle, I'm furious at just what's happened because they were unwilling to spend a little bit of luxury tax money to hold this team in place for a year when Halliburton came back to go to a team that they hate the Bucks. And if Giannis tweets a big smiling emoji and indicates that he is happy as a clam, the Bucks can declare a win, even though this has been a stunning turn of events.
That's ESPN analyst Brian Windhorst with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
We have a slight chance of an isolated thunderstorm later this afternoon into tonight. Otherwise, mostly sunny today. We'll get to 85 for a high this afternoon. Tonight, down to 64 tomorrow. Mostly sunny with a high of 84. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 85.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
It's National Handshake Day, but I find the idea that you just meet someone and you're holding a body part of theirs kind of odd. Hello, stranger. I'd like to squeeze your hand. Let's have an intimate act here. I have no idea where it's been or how you choose to use your hand in your spare time, but I'd like to hold it for a while. Unless it's a friend. Look, I don't know why we have to touch each other when we barely know each other.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Jay, Matt, and Aaron, Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we continue our discussion about funding childcare with Trisha Peterson. We talk sports in hour number two with Paul Noonan from the Acme Packing Company. Join us.
Matt and Aaron on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
From the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board. It is 6 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. Welcome into hour number two of the big program on this Wednesday, July the 2nd, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite, and it is
hump day.
That's right. We made it halfway through the week here, a short work week. We are in with a live show tomorrow. Our very own political editor, founder of the Recombobulation Area, Dan Schaefer, will be here at 2:30 tomorrow to continue to help us recombobulate, following a lot of stories for you still this holiday week. Amongst them, the Wisconsin State Senate is taking up the new budget bill passed by the Joint Finance Committee yesterday. As Pat Kreitlow reported for us on this program last hour, the state Senate in session right now on the floor, taking up a number of Democratic amendments, 20-some. All are expected to be voted down before final passage, and then it will go to the Assembly. Assuming there are no changes, the Assembly would have to pass that and then send it to Governor Evers' desk. He has said if it is the way that they agreed upon, he has said he's going to limit his veto pen and would not veto out, line item veto anything out that he and Voss agreed upon in their deal. So a lot of things are yet to be happening. And then he says after he signs it, he will make a decision on whether to run for a third term for Wisconsin governor. So lots of news to be broken here yet this holiday week. Also out in Washington, D.C., the budget reconciliation bill skimmed by the skin of its teeth, as my grandma used to say. J.D. Vance had to cast the tie-breaking vote in the U.S. Senate to get the budget to the House of Representatives. And now the House having some trouble keeping getting it to happen over there. And some breaking news on this. Our own Derek Van Orten was actually quoted. And I'm struggling. I'm not sure whether – I think it's part of a quote. We can say it's a quote, right? We can use that.
I think you can say it.
We can say that.
We can. All right.
I don't think because George Carlin uses – doesn't cite that word.
I don't want to belabor the word, but I think it's important in this case because it's a direct quote, and now it's kind of blowing up all over social media. And so I think it's an important thing to report. So Kenzie – and I apologize. I'm probably going to butcher her last name pronunciation. Is N-G-U-Y-E-N. Nijin. Kenzie Nijin of Punchbowl News, who in her social media on X lists herself as an intern and a journalism student at Punchbowl News. She posted on socials a couple hours ago a direct quote from Representative of Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District, Derek Van Orden. And this is a direct quote from Congressman Van Orden of Wisconsin. Quote, "The President of the United States didn't give us an assignment. We're not a bunch of little bitches around here, okay? I'm a member of Congress. I represent almost 800,000 Wisconsinites," unquote. Direct quote being reported by Punch Bowl News from Derek Van Orden on the budget reconciliation bill. Now, Representative Van Orden's office has not just, and for anybody who follows this guy, Van Orden, on social media, he tweets incessantly. But this is coming from his official press office social media account. It says this, quote, "This is why the American people can't stand the mainstream press. Ms. Nijin failed to provide the context of her question, which asked if the Republican Party is being, quote, led by the nose by President Trump," unquote. She also conveniently omitted the rest of Representative Van Orden's response, where he stated that President Trump is the leader of the GOP and House Republicans are working in close collaboration with the administration on this bill. Representative Van Orden looks forward to passing the One Big Beautiful Bill and getting it to President Trump's desk to be signed into law, unquote. I don't know, Trigvi Olson, you've been around D.C. a long time, worked for people like Mitch McConnell, John McCain, and others. What do you make of this pretty visceral response by Derek Van Orden here to an honest question, I think, by this young reporter? It's blunt, right? I mean, Derek Van Orden likes to claim he's a former Navy SEAL, tough guy, and so the reporter just says, hey, are Republicans being led by the nose by President Trump? And he starts going on and on, how they're, I'll not continue to use the word outside of the context of the quote, but basically says, he said, we're not a bunch of little witches.
Well,
lean up a little bit, Trig.
I would say what his press office is doing is a retreat. Like,
right.
He looks like the French military, not a Navy SEAL, in the quickness of his throwing down his gun and retreating from Donald Trump. I don't feel sorry for Derek Van Orden one bit, because he makes what he reaps what he sows. But he's in an awkward spot, in the sense that his original quote was probably about trying to appease voters in Western Wisconsin, where he faces a little bit of an election peril, while simultaneously trying to maintain fidelity to the Supreme Leader, Donald Trump. And so he's now successfully having it every way possible.
Yeah. Our friend, a viewer on Facebook, Sarah Cheney, who is helping me out with the pronunciation. Appreciate that, Sarah. The reporter's last name is pronounced Wen, she says. So it's Kenzie Wen. Appreciate that, Sarah. Thank you so very much. But this, to me, Trigvi, says a lot more here. And you kind of hit on it in the break when you said, look, this is a guy, he's worried. This guy's worried. Because here's a young female reporter who's not afraid to go up against this bully. And I don't think she's being disrespectful. She's using blunt language. Hey, are Republicans being led by the nose by President Trump? I don't think you've been in Washington a long time. That's not an unfair question, right?
No, it's a very fair question.
Very fair question.
It's honestly a really good question from a young journalist. I mean, but let's face it, Derek Van Orden has a long history with interns and yelling
and
at
women.
Them and screaming at them. And,
right.
Yeah, right.
So, I mean, he has no respect for young people. No, I mean, this is a guy who yelled at a young teenager or a teenager in the library, a volunteer, over an LGBTQ pride display. Then he yells at teenagers in the state capitol after admittedly having too much to drink and for taking pictures, laying down and taking pictures of the capitol, which is something that is commonly done out there. The guy is nothing but a bully. And I think that you're right, Trigvi. I think he's worried. Rebecca Cook seems to have the Democratic nomination all but locked up. It'll be her third try. Democrats are coalescing around her. The DNC seems to be willing to put in a lot of money. And I think that, and who knows, I still maintain there's another candidate that may get in this race that may shake it up. I think that Derek Van Orden is nervous about re-election, Trigby.
Yeah, no doubt he should be, right? Like, you know the nature that you've run races in the 3rd Congressional District. 3rd Congressional District, you know, it leans slightly right, but let's face it, Donald Trump is underwater in the state of Wisconsin. And, yeah. You know, so, yeah, Derek Van Odwin is going to be doing people in Western Wisconsin are going to watch him throughout this campaign try and have it both ways incessantly. On the one hand, he is going to be saying to his Trump base how Trumpy he is, and he's going to be telling everybody else how he's not Trumpy.
Well, who say? Speaking of, here's classic rock. This was a banned song at WRCO Radio when I was a DJ there. Who sang the Bitch Is Back?
Elton John sang that.
Elton John sang that?
You don't need to be Terry Barr to know that.
You just need to be Trigby Olsen.
You can be me.
So, you know, maybe that, you know, what they need is one of these trucks that follows them around and just keep playing that song for Derek Van Orden.
Yeah, or Sanitarium by Metallica might be a good one, too, for whom the bell tolls.
All right, 16 minutes past the hour. This is one of Trigby's favorite segments when he can stay with us. Time once again for What's Worse. Let's go. Yes.
The choice is yours.
You can get with this, or you can get with that.
Time once again for What's Worse. Nothing to give away, no prize money involved, but it is your chance to have your voice heard across all 11, at least most 11. Brewers postgame show might be going on some of our stations across Civic Media. Brewers won game one, by the way, 7-2. They'll take on the Mets in the doubleheader later on this afternoon across many of our Civic Media stations. The Miz on the mound for Milwaukee. All right, time once again to play What's Worse. Timely indeed, as Mike Lucas says, because I think a lot of people are going to be spending time in one and or both of these places over the 4th of July weekend. Category today, what's worse, beer tents or parades? Beer tents or parades? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842, or you can text us on the Civic Media app. Download it today, your Apple or Android device. It's free, takes less than a minute. It's what Gail King calls a deal, the Civic Media app. What's worse, beer tents or parades? 855-752-4842. Trigby, like me, you've spent a lot of time during the summer on the campaign trail at festivals and spent a lot of time in both beer tents and parades. What's your thoughts?
Todd, this is why I like giving you an extra 20 minutes of my week.
He graces us with his presence.
Todd.
Yes.
Neither of these is worse.
All right.
These are the things that make Wisconsin fantastic. And quite frankly, anybody who's been to River Falls days or Lumberjack days or I don't know in Cudahy what they have, but I'm sure they have one. You want to go to the parade and then hit the beer tent, Todd.
Well, true, right?
And maybe even do a little polka, and neither of them are worse.
Yeah, that was his best Tom.
These are all, this should be
Tommy
what is more this should be what is more awesome.
Right. Now people have opinions.
This is like what's worse, catching walleyes in Wisconsin or catching sunfish in Wisconsin. Todd?
Steve in Milwaukee on WAUK says parades every day. Two damn hot. Parades are definitely worse. Let's see here. Scott in Madison on WMDX says, I'm thinking a beer tent at a parade. Now that's awesome. See, that's a guy.
Honestly, you know what? That would be so great. You get a semi-trailer, right? One of those flatbeds,
yeah,
and haul it with a beer tent on it. Honestly, I got to get my buddies together, and we need to do that before we die at River Falls Days.
855-752-4842.
Literally, we're going to get DW. Go. Yep.
All right, hang on. We have time. Dobber says,
he's
waving me off. Yeah, we do, but we got the break. We can't. That's a taboo.
Todd, I can't. This question is like literally. What are we gonna have next? What's worse, bratwurst or cheese curds?
All right, thanks, Trivia. The category is big tent. beer tents or parades. 855.
You got a problem. I got a plane to catch.
Bye, Trigby. Thank you. Come on back after this on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matinee on Air.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. ProPublica is reporting an alleged $80,000 disclosure omission by Department of Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem in her federal executive branch disclosure form, an ethics violation. Noem appears to have received a 2023 commission for fundraising for a dark money nonprofit group. ProPublica reporters reviewed 2023 documents suggesting a company Noem registered in Delaware, Ashwood Strategies LLC, took an apparent commission payment of $80,000 for raising money for the American Resolve Policy Fund, a 501c3 nonprofit. Noem did not report the payment on her executive branch personnel public financial disclosure report filed late last year. Reporting found American Resolve was registered within minutes of the registration of Ashwood Strategies. On paper, American Resolve is registered and managed by a Virginia company, Sage Advisory Group. ProPublica also reports that American Resolve Policy Fund in turn formed America Resolve PAC, supporting Noem in its advertising. In a press statement, Noem's lawyer claims she did not, quote, establish, finance, maintain, or control American Resolve Policy Fund. She was simply a vendor for a nonprofit entity, unquote. She was also serving as governor at the time. We've linked to Noem's federal disclosure form, the ProPublica report, and more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Here's to experiencing it all this summer in Wisconsin. Every deliciously cheesy, rockin', magical, fireworks-filled, festival-loving moment. There's Cheese Curd Fest in Ellsworth, Strawberry Fest in Cedarburg, Festival of the Arts in Stevens Point, and the Renaissance Fair in Bristol, Honor the Earth Pow Wow in Hayward, Mile of Music in Appleton, Venetian Fest, Bratfest, Summerfest. So many fests for your whole crew. Find them all at TravelWisconsin.com. Sponsored by Travel Wisconsin.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Roll out.
All across Wisconsin this holiday weekend, all kinds of 4th of July independent celebrations. You're going to hear a lot of polkas, a lot of beer music, a lot of beer music, a lot of beer, beer tents and parades. This is part of what makes Wisconsin great. And there's a couple of people that are like, well, why are you celebrating in these times? Why do we want to be proud to be an American? Why are we celebrating the United States? I get the sentiment a little bit, but to me, That's say that you're going to define America and the American ideal in political terms. I don't. I define it in terms of what the founding fathers did in 1776. An ideal that we are still trying to fully live up to. As Joe Biden says, we never fully achieved it, but we keep striving. It's that American ideal. Life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. That all men, the language of the time, but all people, I would say, are created equal. The idea that America offers to anyone who's willing to work hard, to come here, to be a citizen, opportunity. And yes, I get it. That is being challenged more than any time since the Civil War, perhaps, right now in this country. I might throw in the 1964 civil rights movement as well. Yeah, there's been really tough times, and one of them is right now. But we should continue to live up to the ideal and fly the flag. It's not a flag of partisanship. It shouldn't be. All Americans are represented by the Stars and Stripes. I love the 4th of July. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. What's worse, beer tents or parades? Let's go to Jimmy, listening on WMDX in Madison. Jimmy, thanks for holding. Beer tents or parades? What's worse?
Oh, come on. If you've lived in Wisconsin, I lived in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And they're fun to be around in Texas. It's hot. But in Wisconsin, your beer tents come with bees and wasps.
Well, that's true sometimes, right?
And in Texas, they drink Old Milwaukee, Bud Light. They drink all of these light beers.
Right.
Up here in Wisconsin, we tend to drink these heavier beers. So I asked my dad, how come I don't see any bees down in Texas, but I see them here? And my dad says that's because they don't like water.
Well, maybe that's true. Day. You too. Thanks, Jimmy. I appreciate it.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good. Nicely done, Jimmy. 855-752-4842. What's worse, beer tents or parades? Our own Tony, watching on YouTube, always doing a great job, says beer tents are great. Parades? Awful.
Right. Care to elaborate?
Heather on WCFW, the Tap at Eau Claire, watching on Facebook, says a crowded beer tent is worse. People get sloppy. I think that's true. People, yeah, especially late at night, towards the end, you don't want to be in a crowded beer tent at that time, certainly. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. What else? We got the old text line there. Is anything else on John in Menominee Falls? Parades are worse. I'm embarrassed to be an American, but I'm never embarrassed to be a beer drinker. Okay, well, there you go. That's one. Who had the fishing one? That was Mark, was it?
Yeah, Mark compared it.
Because Trigby was saying, you know, well, why are you doing this? That's like, say, what's the worst, catching a muskie or a northern? And Mark in Prairie du Sac says, catching any kind of fish is great. Sheep's head, white bass, bullhead, suckers, and even, dare I say it, even carp. I've even caught moonies in the Wisconsin River. The moony, I don't even know what kind of fish that
moon-eye?
Is. Moon eye? Moon eye, moony, I don't know. Is that like a Hare Krishna, the moonies? I'm not sure. Thanks, Mark, I always appreciate it. What's worse, beer tents or parades? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Zommers?
This is a tough one, you know, because both have their downsides. Mm. Parades can go on long and potentially be boring if they're not that well set up, but they can also be a lot of fun. They're a lot of fun to be in.
Right.
And beer tents can be crowded and messy, and as Jimmy mentioned, full of bees. I don't know. I think I'm going to have to say that beer tents are worse because if I want to drink, I can go home. I can't do a parade at home.
Well, you could just parade
it would
around.
Be very underwhelming.
Parade around the house. Hey, did your parents growing up, anybody ever use that term? Like, well, they're parading around their house in their underwear.
Yeah. You know what? Good point.
And in this kind of weather, if you stop by Summer's neighborhood, you might see him parading around the house in his underwear.
Hey, since I got my medication sorted out, not so much.
Oh,
in
really?
College, absolutely.
Okay, very good. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. What's worse, beer tents or parades? This is a tough one for me. A bad parade is bad. I mean, I've been to a couple of bad, like if there's like a block in between units and all that kind of jazz, you don't want that.
That's a very bad parade, yeah.
Very bad parade. But in general, I think you're right. People enjoy a parade. Kids like the candy, all that kind of stuff. Beer, I love a good beer tent. Like you go down to Oktoberfest in beautiful New Glarus.
Oh, yeah.
Where you got Boogie of the Yo-Yos playing. You go to that tent and it's just a party. But yeah, I'll agree with my sister Heather on Facebook that a crowded beer tent, especially late in the day and where people are getting sloppy, and you don't want that. So, I mean, both are good. But if I had to choose, I'd say beer tents are worse. Mark and Pertisac says, moon eyes look like a herring. Wow. I didn't know that.
Lennon Madison says beer tents are worse because they don't include the youths.
Yeah.
The youth and the children is actually what it says.
The youths. The youth and the children. Love it. Thanks, man. Len, I appreciate it. All right. There's another edition of What's Worse. We'll be back again tomorrow with a live show. And then on Friday, Independence Day, have some 4th of July music for you, some reflections on the holiday, a little appearance by the late, great Charles Kuralt of CBS on Independence Day.
But in the meantime, free ticket Friday.
And it's free ticket Friday. That's right. Brewers tickets on Friday as well. Don't forget about that. Come on back. More after this on the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Grab a partner. Do a poker.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. As Wisconsin is summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Cattle industry is keeping an eye on a pest that keeps wiggling its way into headlines. New World Screwworm is something the U.S. Department of Agriculture continues to closely monitor. I'm Kylie Allen with the Midwest Farm Report, taking a look at your closing markets on a Wednesday. John Heinberg joins us. He's the market advisor for Total Farm Marketing. He has more details on how the market might respond to the parasite.
We do not want to see this get into the U.S. herd at all. We had that one day of a rumor that had happened in Missouri, and market and cattle prices were all over the map that day. You know, so there's a lot of concern there regarding that and what could be the impact in terms of the cattle market overall. You know, USDA's just announced also yesterday another $8.5 million to be put towards this program of trying to control this parasite or this pest. So it's going to be still one of those things that's going to be on the headlines and closely watched by the cattle industry in terms of keeping this new world screwworm out of the U.S. cattle herd.
The USDA is slowly opening border ports for cattle and closely monitoring new world screwworm. Market advisor for Total Farm Marketing, John Heinberg. I'll be back with a look at your closing markets after this.
Family reunions, anniversaries, neighborhood get-togethers, whatever event you're planning, incorporate a little Bavaria sausage flavor in your event. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke, I wouldn't steer you wrong. I'll tell you what, Bavaria sausage can give you just what you're looking for when it comes to impressing your guests with fantastic flavor and old world recipes. And things are always changing at Bavaria Sausage, so you'll want to check back often. Their website's fantastic, BavariaSausage.com, making it easy for you to get the products you're looking for. Or better yet, visit face-to-face in the store, corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrota Road in Fitchburg. Monday through Friday, 9 until 7, Saturday, 9 until 1. No matter what your celebration is, Scott and the crew will work towards making sure it's a success. Looking for something special or maybe bigger volumes? That's where you want to contact Scott and Lisa and let them know what you're looking for. BavariaSausage.com. You stop by, they'll make the difference.
I'm Kylie Allen with the Midwest Farm Report. Let's take a look at your closing markets. Cash corn is closed at 418, up 12. New crop corn closed up 11.5 at 433.5. Cash beans closed at 1053.5, up 23.75. New crop beans closed at 1048, up 20.75. New crop wheat closed at 564, up 15. August Class 3 milk contract is down 20 cents and is trading at 1823 a hundredweight. September milk is trading down 7 cents at 1886 a hundredweight. 40-pound block cheese closed at 167.5, down 4.75. AA butter closed at 258, down 2.25. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Kylie Allen.
As Wisconsin is summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
We have a slight chance of an isolated thunderstorm later this afternoon into tonight. Otherwise, mostly sunny today. We'll get to 85 for a high this afternoon. Tonight, down to 64 tomorrow. Mostly sunny with a high of 84. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 85.
Matt Nair on air.
PJ Leash, the bug guy, he heads the entomology department at UW-Madison, and we are talking ticks.
When a deer tick transmits Lyme disease, it takes 36 hours, so about a day and a half. And that's why, in my mind, one of the single best things you can do as a precaution is to do regular tick checks. Because you've removed it, your risk goes down greatly to basically zilch.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
For 75 years, the Muscular Dystrophy Association's voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
For 75 years, we've willed the impossible into existence.
For 75 years, the MDA community has pushed the science,
shifted the narrative,
and established the field of neuromuscular medicine.
And until that day when this is all a thing of the past,
you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Milwaukee film critic Matt Miller and Madison-based filmmaker Wendy Schneider, who will discuss her screening of the Smart Studio story at the Atwood Music Hall. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
In heaven, there is no beer. That's why we drink it here. And when we're gone from here, all our friends will be drinking all our beer.
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network. 35 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock on Wednesday, July 2nd. Celebrate and get the 4th of July festivities underway early here on the Allball Show. Somers has brought in the polka band. Fantastic job.
I think we could all use a little bit of lightheartedness.
Could not agree more. Speaking of, our friends Jane Matinair and Greg Bach of the great program Matinair on Air every morning from 9 until 11 are going to be joining us here week after next on the road. We're back on the road. Going to be great. I'm going to be Zomers and I. I'm very happy about this, by the way, because I'm privileged and fortunate enough to go all over Wisconsin on these great on-the-road shows. And Zomers does yeoman's work just getting the job done back here at the studio, you understand? Well, now we heard from the 12th floor today that Zomers gets to go along with me to Racine next Tuesday.
So, I mean, we'll still be in a studio, right. But well, I will be somewhere besides this chair.
Right. You get out on the road a little bit. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to buy you one of those great C&H Kringles right down the street. Yeah,
well, those are delicious.
We'll have it'll be a Lollapalooza of Kringle down there in Racine next Tuesday. So that'll be great. Zomers and I, not next Tuesday, Tuesday after next. And then Jane, Greg, and I are going to pack up the VFW Bug. Not really. And we're going to hit the road. We're going to be in Oshkosh, by gosh, for a preview of the big EAA museum and fly-in. And then we're going up to, Jane's been adamant about getting to Butternut, Wisconsin. I believe that we're going to do the show from a beautiful art studio in Butternut.
Is that so?
Yes. And then on Friday, we're going to be in Hayward. Lots of things going on in Hayward. Among them, the World Lumberjack Championship. Also, a Native American powwow. And we're going to be doing, we have our own little amphitheater. Right across from our sister station, we had WBZH is the talk station, Hayward, and Muskie 101 is the music station, and there's an outdoor pavilion, I'll use the word to be fancy, right across the street, and Jane and Greg and I are going to be out of doors, so bring your lawn chair, bring a beverage, and sit there, and Jane 9 until 11, and Greg, and then our show from 2 until 4.
Definitely a BYOBT, you know, bring your own beer tent. We will not have one provided.
No, definitely no. Please follow all laws. Oh, Jeff on watching this on YouTube corrects me. I'm sorry. The Kringle place in Racine is O and H, not C and H.
I didn't think C and H sounded right, but I wasn't sure what it
sugar.
Actually was.
You understand that?
Oh,
the
it is.
It's the mark. See, people that know me say, Todd, you're a person that works in media, and you're the most susceptible person we know to marketing and media. And they're absolutely right. You understand? It's because I keep, you're probably too young, but back in the day, it was a big Hawaiian because, you know, sugar cane from Hawaii. And so it was, you know, C and H. Grown in the sun, from Hawaii, grown in the sun. If you cook, if you bake, for goodness sakes, you CNH, CNH, that's the one.
Yeah, I've definitely never heard that.
And then I'm not sure if it was Saturday Night Live or somebody else who did a spoof on that, and it was PNH, for preparation H. And it was, if you itch, if you ache, for goodness sakes, use PNH.
Oh my gosh.
Preparation H, that's the one. So thank you. Thank you, Jeff. I was thinking of the sugar, not the Kringle. So it's O&H Kringle. They're a great sponsor, I believe, of WRJN, our station down there in Racine. So I'll buy some Kringle next Tuesday after next.
In Hawaii,
oh, here we go.
Children grow up with the sugar cane.
B&H.
Pure cane sugar.
Pure cane sugar.
From Hawaii.
From Hawaii.
Grown in the sun.
All right. That was fantastic. Well done pulling that up. It brings back nostalgia for those of us from the 70s and 80s. And it was like pretty as beautiful Hawaii. So the whole idea was by using CNA sugar, you are transporting you and your family to the beautiful Hawaiian sugarcane fields, which on television ads look beautiful next to the ocean. And I'm sure they're terribly dingy or whatever. But it was radio of the mind, Zomers. That used to be a thing.
You mean theater of the mind?
That's it.
Yeah, gotcha.
But no, but we use radio and you create a, because, you know,
right.
Now we have streaming and all this, you know, those visuals. But back in the day, you had to use your mind.
You had to paint a picture verbally.
Paint a picture, yes. Absolutely. So there you go. Well, so that's going to come up. We're going to be on the road looking forward to that. Here now, and this has been classified documentation, which we were able to obtain and we share with you because we want to thank you, our listeners, for our big text to win contest here recently. And it was a big contest. And the big winners were you, our audience, those two great prize giveaways, getaways to Door County and the Bear Budell's area, along with a three-way blender and brewer tickets. There were a lot, all kinds of, I guess the blender was a couple of times ago.
Yeah, no blender this time.
But yeah, great prizes, won by all. Want to thank our great team here to put all that together. And so, as in the past, we were pitted against our friends, Jane and Greg, on Matt and Aaron Air. And the last time around, they whipped our posteriors. And so they won so big that the folks here on 12th floor said, we're going to retire Jane's Text to Win jersey for a minute. And so, Todd, we're pitting you against nationally syndicated progressive talk show host, radio host Tom Hartman, who comes on for 3 hours before us. And, you know, he talks about politics and he sells crypto and lock boxes and all kinds of good things. And then we come on. And I thought, well, there's no way. You know, the guy is like, he has like a number 7 or 8 ranked radio show in America. In America, I understand. And so they said, well, no, Todd, we're going to put you up against him. And so now the results are in and we can share with all of you the top 3 place finishers. In number 3, our friends John and Gordy of the John and Gordy Show here in Madison, WMDX. In number 2, a close second place finish, our friend Maggie Dawn of the award-winning Maggie Dawn Show comes on after us every afternoon from 4 until 6. And at number 1 in the Text to Win contest, somehow Zomers and I have managed to squeak it out and back on top. So thank you all. Thank you all. The credit goes to all of you for listening and texting in. And have no fear, there's going to be another great big text to win contest coming up in the fall. All kinds of ways for you all to win more. So download the Civic Media app right now on your Apple or Android device and be ready.
And in the meantime, we still have free Ticket Fridays for the rest of the Brewers baseball season.
Yeah, absolutely. By the way, Tom Hartman, if this were a horse race, neither win placed or showed. Did not win, place, or show. But we're very appreciative, you understand, of our listeners for putting us back on top. Thank you very much. We appreciate each and every one of you. Let's go to the phone lines. Quickly, Mark and Perrin Sack been holding on for a while. I appreciate you holding on because I wanted to get through our what's worse, Mark. But you wanted to go back to the story we talked about at the top of the hour. 3rd District Congressman Derek Van Orten getting salty when a young journalist questioned him about, are you being led around by the nose, Republicans, by Donald Trump on this budget? And he got salty, swore at this, and said, no, we're not a bunch of little witches. Since I'm not using the direct quote, I won't use the word he said, but folks can only imagine. Mark, what say you?
Well, Derek Van Orten is just a punk, and he's been a punk his entire life, I think. And, you know, picking on, you know, he's really brave when it comes to picking on girls or people that can't defend themselves, but you know, I'm just surprised that girl in the library, I'm just surprised her father didn't go and have a discussion with Mr. Van Odd one about what he had said. And, you know, we're coming up on the 4th of July, and I think, you know, it pays for all of us to turn back to the Declaration of Independence and look through the list of indictments against the King of England and compare those to some of the crimes that Donald Trump has committed. I mean, he's incited, you know, he's incited insurrections against us. He's kept amongst us in times of peace, standing armies without the consent of our legislatures.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just read through the whole thing. He has erected a multitude of new offices and sent hither swarms of officers to harass our people and eat out of our substance. What is that other than ICE?
Yeah.
It is just deeply disturbing. And with a little bit of adjustments, virtually all the indictments against the King of England that we have in our Declaration of Independence, one of our foundational documents, one where we declared ourselves a free people, you know, that not necessarily establishing ourselves as our basis of laws as a nation, but establishing ourselves as a free people, those indictments apply almost 100% against Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And the people need to recognize that.
Appreciate the call, Mark. Thank you so very much. 855-752-484. So I'm trying to get 855-752-4842. I only say it about 30 times a day, more or less, if you want to call in. Jobbers, over your life, I mean, you were about half the age, but would you consider yourself a cheap date? When you've gone on a date, are you a cheap date or are you more an expensive date?
I am definitely a cheap date. For me, the most important thing is spending time with a person that you care about or are trying to get to know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't need to go out to a steak dinner. I don't even need to go out. If we just stay home and watch a movie and eat, I don't know, ramen, I'll be happy.
I ask you because here now, I want to get into this a little bit. Andrew Solander from Axios, who is a congressional reporter, gives us some details, some background on this story I want to get to. From TheHill.com. Headline: Democrat calls Murkowski cheap date over whaling tax carve-out.
Not in that way, I'm not.
I love every part of this, by the way. So the budget passed, U.S. budget passed the U.S. Senate. Now it's in the House, trying to round up votes there. But Lisa Murkowski, the Republican from Alaska, had said, no, I'm not going to vote for this. Well, at the end, she caved. And they're calling her now, Democrats are calling her a cheap date. Here's the background on this from Andrew Solander from Axios. Says, anybody who knows the Jim McGovern lore knowers will understand how brutal an insult this is coming from him. So here's the background on this. This happened when back in the House, all right? It says the debate on whether to try to extract concessions from Speaker, or then Mike Johnson, and former House Speaker Kevin McCarthy before him has raged among Democrats throughout this Congress, even as Democrats coalesced around saying Johnson at a closed-door meeting on Tuesday with Representative Jim McGovern, Democrat of Massachusetts, argued they shouldn't be, quote, cheap dates going forward. So this was back when they were trying to pass a budget when Republicans are in charge, but they needed a couple of Democratic votes. And McGovern's like, well, look, we shouldn't be cheap dates. The phrase that came to personify an emerging stance that there is definitely growing pressure to use the leverage we obviously have. People want to make sure that we're not going to be a cheap date, said Representative Jamie Raskin, Democrat of Maryland. All right. Representative Jim McGovern, Democrat of Massachusetts, told Axios, quote, I voted to table, but I'm not a cheap date. So we will revisit this thing again when we have to. What they're saying, quote, I'm not a cheap date. House Rules Committee ranking member Jim McGovern, Democrat of Massachusetts, said on his votes on a motion to vacate. This is about the vacating the chair, and you know, McCarthy and Johnson, signaling that his support would come at a cost. At a cost. So we've seen this before, and now Democrats are turning the tables, and they're calling Republican Senator Lisa Murkowski of Alaska a cheap date. How cheap is she? We'll tell you after this on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm a cheap date. Now what do you say, June?
join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Amory Chevrolet makes the car buying process simple and painless. Whether you're looking to upgrade to something bigger because of your growing family, or you want the adrenaline and want the rush of a two-door sports car for a weekend getaway at the lake, Amory Chevrolet has something for everyone. Stop into their modern showroom today, and any one of their friendly staff will be happy to assist you in your car buying journey. Located along Highway 46 on Amory's south side, Amory Chevrolet is here when you need them.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Barrio. The website climate.gov is no more. The site that served as a trusted resource for federal research on climate change has been officially shut down a month after its staff was fired by the Trump administration. When it was online, climate.gov received hundreds of thousands of visitors every month. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration says climate information will be housed elsewhere on its website. $16 million in state funding could soon be on the way to help farmers improve water quality in rural Wisconsin. The Joint Committee on Finance recently committed the funding for a host of environmentally-minded farm programs after months of work from Clean Wisconsin and its partners. The funding still needs to be passed by the full legislature and signed into law by Governor Evers. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's most pressing environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Tracy Ann Mangold, how would you describe what it is that Brian Schimming is caught in the crossfires of?
He's the first paid state chair that they've ever had. And so the belief was that maybe that'll increase his ability to fundraise for the state. Obviously, that has not worked out so well. I've been told that he thinks 4 phone calls a day to fundraise is a lot, which, you know, isn't.
104 might be a good start.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Indy Duttagupta, he is with the Center for Law and Social Policy.
The Trump administration's agenda is reducing economic growth. The programs that they're proposing cutting, like Medicaid and SNAP, especially for kids, actually more than pay for themselves. So we are really looking at a tough long-term economic outlook entirely created by the current policymakers.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Tallaball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, where it is now 8 minutes before the hour of 4 o'clock at the top of the hour. ABC, CBS, and James Kelly News, depending upon which of our great stations you're listening to, followed by a check of weather, followed by our great sports reporter, Mike Clemens, all over today's Brewer, the first of a doubleheader. They had to postpone last night's game because of weather in New York against the Mets. And so they played the first game. Freddy Peralta gets the win of the 7-2, I think was the final score of the first game. The Brewers play the second game of a doubleheader against the Mets, starting around 5-something this afternoon with the pregame show. And then the Miz, Mizorowski, on the mound for the Brewers. How about that for a doubleheader? I listened to the pregame show earlier today on the first game. And Pat Murphy, Brewers manager, says, I coached the minor leagues a long time. I never had this kind of a pitching opportunity to have two guns like Peralta and Mizorowski in a doubleheader. So he was pretty happy. He was pretty happy. So we'll see if the Brewers can complete the doubleheader sweep tonight, later this afternoon, and tonight across many of our stations here on the Civic Media Radio Network. And then at 4 o'clock, it'll be followed by those news, weather, sports updates. It'll be the Maggie Dawn program from 4 until 6. Sorry for the stuttering and stammering there. I was trying to see, I believe there's a guest host today. Is that right, Zombers? I was just trying to get the right person. Anyway, it's the Maggie. The important thing is the Maggie Dawn Show. It's always great, no matter who's hosting. So stay tuned for that. And then following that is our friend Pete Schwabba and Conrad with Nightlight from 6 until 8. Robert Pilot with Native Roots Radio and then Rick Smith Across America. A great show. So before the break, we were talking about, trying to put it into context here, this story on from The Hill. Say Democrat calls Murkowski a cheap date. My pictures of my senators mixed up. Murkowski a cheap date over a whaling tax carve-out. And the context was that when Republicans were trying to ask Democrats for help in saving Mike Johnson, McGovern, the Democrat, said, look, we're not a cheap date. If you want something from us, you gotta give us something for it. We're going to hold out. Now, according to The Hill, Congressman Jim McGovern, Democrat of Massachusetts, quipped that Senator Lisa Murkowski, Republican of Alaska, was, quote unquote, a cheap date for voting for President Trump's giant tax cut and spending package, seemingly for a tax break for fishermen due to a House Rules Committee hearing during a House Rules Committee hearing yesterday. The comment came after Representative Joe Negus, Democrat of Ohio, asked House Ways and Means Chair Representative Jason Smith, Republican of Missouri, about a new tax cut break for whalers and fishermen. It was one of many Alaska-specific items that were added to the bill in the final weeks. Quote, are you talking about allowing someone that uses a harpoon to detect the cost of that harpoon or deduct the cost of that harpoon? That's correct. That's included, Smith responded. It's a business expense. So let me get this straight. Lisa Murkowski sold out her vote on the entire budget to let whalers deduct the cost of their harpoons. Negus interrupted, says, it's a tax break. Smith says it's a business expense that was capped at $10,000 and now they can deduct it. Up to $50,000, right? The Democratic congressman said, which the Republican chair said, yes, that's right. The Democrat asked, why was it added? I think we all know, right? While seemingly smiling and referring to Murkowski, who was initially a no vote on the bill, but flipped. After a grueling last-minute negotiation, she sealed the deal as the crucial 50th vote for Republicans. Smith, the chair, Republican chair, said, you'd have to talk to the senators. He wasn't going to out her. McGovern, a ranking member of the House Rules Committee, later interrupted Negus and asked that the addition of the bill, to ask if that addition to the bill was all it took, quote unquote, for Republicans to get a yes from Murkowski. Is that all it took? He asked. The Republican chair said, quote, I'm not sure. McGovern says, boy, quote, boy, she's a cheap date. Unquote.
That is brutal.
The bill, which passed the Senate on Tuesday and now heads to the House, creates a tax exemption for fishers in Western Alaskan villages and a separate provision that gives some whaling captains in the state the ability to deduct 50 grand from their expenses, a five-fold increase. Murkowski said on Tuesday the process that led her to vote for the bill was, quote, agonizing, unquote, noting that she hopes more will be done to improve the bill. She also said that she, quote, struggled mightily, unquote, with the potential impact of cuts to Medicaid and supplemental nutrition assistance programs of vulnerable populations. In other words, SNAPs, food stamps.
Look how easily she folded to big whalers. Right.
She said, this is probably the most difficult and agonizing legislation 24-hour period that I have encountered. And I've been here a while. And, you know, I've got a few battle scars underneath of me, Murkowski told reporters.
I was going to say,
if you want to know what politics is, if you want to know the epitome of a sellout, if you want to know the epitome of why people hate politicians so much, no further than Lisa Murkowski, who is, in fact, as it turns out, a very cheap political date.
Absolutely.
That may be the best story of the week so far. Well done by The Hill. You can find it all at thehill.com. Great show today. Many thanks to Pat Kreitler. Happy birthday, Patrick. I'll be on his show tomorrow and jumping out of a cake. Cannot wait for that. Trigvi Olson, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project. Michelle Vasquez from Planned Parenthood. Zombers as well, and all of you for listening. Stay tuned. Maggie Dawn is next. We'll be back with a live show tomorrow, updating you with Dan Schaefer, our political editor, on the state budget. Until then, whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe in, do not give up. Keep banging your drum.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Defendant Brian Koberger changed his plea to guilty today in the stabbing murders of four University of Idaho students in 2022. Victims' families were split on whether they support that plea deal, which spares Koberger the death penalty. Instead, he'll be sentenced to four consecutive life sentences and waives all rights to appeal. After the hearing, Leander James, a victim's rights attorney, read a statement on behalf of Maddie Mogan's family in support of the deal.
While we know there are some who do not support it, we ask that they respect our belief that this is the best outcome possible for the victims, their families, and the state of Idaho.
In New York City, a bail hearing set in the next hour for Sean Diddy Combs. His attorneys pushing for him to be freed after a jury acquitted the music mogul on the most serious charges of sex trafficking and racketeering. Jurors found Combs guilty of prostitution-related charges. He still faces 20 years in prison. And the House is scrambling to pass the Senate amended mega bill, but it faces hurdles in the coming days. This is ABC News.